Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces Podcast, episode 400, the big birthday bash, return to the Whiffin, part four. Yeah. Trying to recreate the mood of the room as I do this intro ages later on a rainy day. But yeah, I hope you've enjoyed parts one, two, and three. Part four continues on the trajectory that has been laid before your eyes. So you have been warned. As ever, speechdevelopmentrecords.com, patreon.com/ScroobiusPip if you want to support. But yeah, in general, just enjoy our enjoyment. We were delighted to be together. I've missed being in a room with those two boys so much. So it's beautiful to do it. Let's get in. Part four, baby. I like starting recording the next episode on laughter and snacks being poured. Here we are, episode four of the Return to the Within, the big birthday bash.
Hello.
How are we all doing, lads?
I'm having a fucking great time, to be honest with you. Yeah, I've just seen a 3D model created by an artist friend of ours.
Yes, Riker made an amazing blind boy of the Rubber Bandits toy for the recent Pod Bible cover.
Sick. Ryan's coming back on our podcast. I put a date, you didn't confirm it, but Ryan's coming back on. Riker's coming back on to do a Star Wars-based critical description of the last six films.
Star Wars brings us into the Whiffin. As said, you've added a lot of Star Wars memorabilia. Yes. I want to play a little game of how many people on the wall in the Whiffin have got or will have charges against them at some point. Because you've got Michael Jackson there. You've got Morrissey, 100% going to have some kind of charges. Conor McGregor, 100%.
Yeah. That's his signature there, beating charges. The shit out of Aldo.
Sean Ryder.
Sean Ryder will have, or someone from the Happy Mondays is likely to have charges. And then you've got every member of Serious Problem who are likely, it's unlikely they're going to get through their lives without charges.
Boris Johnson.
Yep. It's a fucking cunt.
War crimes for that fucking bag of custard.
Welcome back. This is going to be the last one because I think we've drunk too much to do too many more. What should we kick things off with? What we've got left is films, music and TV. Okay. We've got favourite sharks and whales.
Oh, I want to hear your favourite sharks and whales. Come on, let's get to it.
We've got top five TV show character names, which I want to get Chris's opinions on.
look at she. Why is she so excited about that part of the
because
segment?
He thinks that you're going to get names wrong, but that's not why I've chosen
so unkind, isn't it? Because we've all got disabilities. You've got lisp. You've got a stammer. I can't get anyone's names right.
But the other one on the list is the Shane McGowan podcast, A Crock of Gold, which I thought was amazing.
The documentary.
Podcast, what am I talking about? The documentary, it blew me away. Number one, the life he's led. Mm-hmm. The story on it that really blew me away was the fact that after and during the famine and the troubles, there were so many deaths that they buried them in dunes on the beach. And Shane McGowan and his mates were playing on sand dunes one day.
Fucking
and it
hell,
got far
man.
And skulls fell out and all sorts of darkness.
Seriously?
It's mind-blowing. The life he's led is mind-blowing. But equally, it gave me an appreciation of the Pogues I've never had. The songwriting was just mind-blowing. Yeah. And again, the stories that the fact that they modernized traditional, like Irish trad, they made new traditional Irish songs, which is mind blowing. Yeah. Like you think of traditional British songs, no one has made new ones. The closest that's come is the viral hit of sea shanties recently, mm-hmm. which I thought was kind of dope. But the fact that the Pogues played Irish trad and modernized it, but made their own that holds up. blew my mind. And then after that, I reckon I listened about 20 times in a row to Pair of Brown Eyes.
On summer evening, drunk to hell, I sat there almost lifeless. Oh,
mate, wow. It's a...
Philomena sang.
Stunning song. It's a such a work of art. And I had issues with the documentary at points because it was weird because I thought there were certain bits where it's like, you don't need to interview. I don't think Johnny Depp added much. I thought, what's his name from Sinn Féin? Jerry Adams. I thought he was amazing. He asked some really good questions. I also thought that the lad from Primal Scream, as much as I adore Primal Scream, I didn't think they added much other than he's there. But just some of the stories and Shane McGowan's choice to essentially be an alcoholic. And it was really interesting hearing his story of kind of going, no, this isn't, I don't know, in his mind he's needed it to be a creative, but then there were some really sensitive moments where he spoke about, like, what would you like most? And it was to be prolific again. Like, in his mind, he's not written anything amazing in a long time. And he used to be, he would just churn them out. And it was just so moving. But just Pair of Brown Eyes, if people haven't listened to it, it blew my mind because I'd heard it before and I assumed it was a love song. I hadn't really listened to it, but it's about being at war. And he sees a disembodied pair of brown eyes staring back at him, and then they haunt him as he returns back and isn't welcome back from war, isn't embraced as a hero and accepted in society, and he's continuing to have this trauma of this pair of brown eyes staring back at me. And just the writing of it, Shane McGowan is written off by many and by me at points as just a pisshead, a drunk guy who wrote some cool stuff, but it's kind of, it's drinking songs.
Yeah.
Like, there are certain ones that are just classic
but
drinking
that goes
songs.
Back to the Billy Bragg, oh, he just does all them songs about fucking politics.
And it's not
and
a
it's not. You listen to Summer in Siam by the Pogues, uh-huh. and it'll break you in half. It's like...
I cliched it up and downloaded the best of the Pogues.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing album because it was a shortcut to all of that.
And when you say... You know, they use traditional Irish music. When you actually think of when the Pogues broke through and what, you know, the times that they were making it in the mid-80s and what was going on in music in the mid-80s makes it even more
That's
insane.
That's what was amazing about the documentary was seeing the early material of him trying to do punk and it being kind of shit. And
but
kind
you'll
of
see Shane
nothing.
In any punk footage, like the Pistols and that, you'll always see Shane in the crowd.
That was the thing I found really interesting in all that footage is I'd erase that from my memory because loads of that footage I'd seen, but my era of watching documentaries like The Great Rock and Roll Swindle, which was by the same director, was Sid Vicious always being in the crowd and always being rowdy, and my mind had put those two things together. So half of the footage I saw, I was like, I've seen this, but in my memory, it's Sid Vicious there, but every early bit of footage of the punk scene was Shane McGowan. And then he tried to do punk and it felt like just a copy. And then him and the Pogues started to do trad stuff, but modernising it. Like, literally with one of them just smacking a tray on his head for the beat. And the visceralness of that was just amazing.
Spider was a fucking animal on stage.
And I didn't really know. I'd always been aware of the Pogues. I probably would have lied about how much I'd heard of them or how much I knew of them because it's that era that I was into.
Yeah.
But didn't really listen. And this documentary blew. I didn't, to be critical, I didn't think it was an amazingly made documentary. I thought it had its flaws, but just putting Shane McGowan on camera and talking to him was, he's not someone who's got a filter. So sitting him down with anyone, like his stories of, and again, it's in one of the songs, I can't think of which one now, but his stories of essentially being a rent boy for a period.
Rainy Night in Soho?
Yeah.
What Shane McGowan was?
Yeah. And
I think maybe if your life, experience is that great that why do you need a filter? Why that all these weird things that people think are important now, like your truth is so fucking real that what's the point in fucking in any way trying to put any kind of slant on it? We on St. Patrick's Day, Molly cracks out all the Pogues. She's got their Molly's background is part Irish, part Palestinian, and we listen to the Pogues records, and they're fucking really ace. Like I honestly,
Sally McMillaney as a drinking song is just Yeah.
Brush anthem that was, mate.
Yeah, I bet. Again, that's what a lot of this was, and my brother saying, here's the ones that you need to listen to, because him and his mates who would have been wreaking havoc at the Brush before I was, they had certain songs that they would just put on and they would drink and drink and drink, and it was, yeah.
I'll tell you, you get a chance to read his book. Is he called A Drink with Shane McGowan? I can't remember, but it's just him riffing to his missus.
Mm.
And I reckon I probably read it.
They were some of the best interviews in this, was him, and which I didn't realise until a certain way in, that this is his missus, that was some of the most revealing bits, because that was the bit where she kind of asked, what would you want? And he was like, to be prolific again.
Yeah.
I don't feel I am anymore. That must be heartbreaking.
Yeah, because in the book, he talks about himself as the best looking man on the planet, the hardest man on the planet. Like, he's so confident.
Mm.
But then he talks about being fired from the Pogues. And at the time, you know, he discovered ecstasy and acid. And at one point, like, they were just getting through tour managers, like they were going out of fashion.
Mm.
And they just went, right, go and get Shane up. And they were like, Shane. And then he just opened the door and he'd gone out and bought like pots of like red paint. And he painted himself and the whole room red. And it was just like, he's got to go, man.
He's lost his fucking
nuts. No, that weren't my... I think the final thing was they were writing a song, and this would have been post-Fairy Tale, so, like, by now they're, like, huge.
Yeah, next stars. Level.
And he'd wrote a 27-minute Acid Ass record. And they're like, I think he's got to go.
Yeah. Well, that was a beautiful thing seen in the documentary, that he did have to go for himself and for the band, because they'd started, like, Fiesta and songs like that, that were just trying to be, again, we've spoken about it in every episode, of the trying to be what people now perceive you to be, trying to be the drinking band. Let's all drink and do this. Whereas, and again, we spoke about it with Billy, as you said, some of his love songs and some of his poetry was just, it's mind blowing. And it's the lack of a filter.
Yep.
It's that tough thing, because I think there's a big myth of the tortured artist, and I think it can be really damaging in acting, in music, in all of these things, that you idolise Hunter S. Thompson and all these people who are these, they're off their nut all the time, and a William Burroughs and all of these who have to be in certain conditions.
You hung out with them. Have you seen how bad that is? Because it's very destructive. It's
hugely destructive.
It's cool to talk about, but it's also mad. Like, I've heard Johnny Depp talk about meeting Hunter S. Thompson in nightclubs where he's walking in with a cattle prod.
Mm.
That sounds really funny, unless you're Johnny Depp or Hunter S. Thompson, at which point that don't sound so cool. It sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Well, my uncle, Patrick Meads, I'm going to have on the podcast at some point, was the first label manager of Trojan Records, and the last time he saw Lee Scratch Perry, Lee was getting all the executives out of the studio at gunpoint. And again, Lee was one of those that was like, it's Lee Scratch Perry. He's so off the wall. He's so crazy. And they were like, this is the point where it's not a funny game anymore. Like, he's literally pulled a gun on all of us and we're all getting out. It's like, it's the last time I saw the dude. That's too heavy. But the thing that got me with the Shane McGowan thing was it felt like an educated choice and decision. It didn't feel like the victim of a condition or an illness. Mm-hmm. It felt like he went, I've been sober and I've been not sober, and this is where I want to be. I know the damage it's doing. Like, he's more intelligent. Like, the documentary showed me he's more intelligent than I maybe gave him credit for. And I just thought, oh, he's this pisshead. But it felt like in the documentary, you got to see that he's like, no, I know the damage. I know the cost, but this is the life I want to live, and this is how I'd like to live it. And it was really interesting to see, not to get too heavy, but when we've discussed suicide in the past, like, my relationship with that has changed, that I do feel for certain people, it's their right, it's their choice. I do think if you can see that there's a mental health issue or whatever else, but we are all autonomous humans and we should have a right over all these things. And that was interesting. I've never seen that on alcoholism. Yeah. That he was like, look, it's not, this is a choice. This isn't an illness. This isn't this or that. And in reality, it's kind of a Keith Richards thing that chances are, or a Jim Morrison thing, chances are if he stopped, he'd die at this stage. And Jim Morrison was that. He stopped everything and then died in a bath. And it's that
kind of... Yeah, but like, that's because he didn't know what the hot and cold taps are for.
He didn't.
You should read the book. It's really, really fucking interesting.
The documentary just blew my mind, and seeing him talk.
I've told you
freely,
my Shane McGowan story, haven't I?
Tell it again. I've told it recently, but tell it again for the people.
Can I just quickly intervene? Because I'm hammered.
Talking about Shane when we've had a few drinks is either the most appropriate or the most inappropriate.
Being in a situation where you're adored as being a creative person, doesn't that give you absolute control over other human beings? Because they think that you're inviting them to be open-minded, but really you're shutting down their... I'm so hammered that I can't even follow through that thought.
Yeah, you, man, I don't know where that was going.
About
that was
that
mess.
Time you put your finger up that fella's whoopsie that liked the podcast.
Hey, I stand by it. I like the podcast.
Hey, look, there's a subscription level for our podcast for that reason. Sorry, I don't know where I was going with
so hardcore. So patreon.com/hardcore listen. there's different tiers.
We can rim job you.
No, go ahead then, Stu, because Chris is gone. Tell your Shane McGowan story.
Well, I was gone.
Yeah, you were gone. I was gone.
I think I'd been spiked.
At the awards.
Yeah.
And oh, by
the Enemy Awards. Right,
it was. And I'd never been at anything like that. And
you
I was,
went with
can
Buckley.
You, can yep. you say who you think you've been spiked with? Well, no, we need to keep that not. Off, can't we? Like, yeah. That is a major mainstream person, though, that you think spiked you, right?
Yeah.
Cilla Black, ladies.
I want you to keep Prince's name out of your mouth.
So. All I'm saying is that Stu left the table for a minute, and the only person there was Lulu.
And Mr. Blobby.
Anyway, I... felt very, very weird. And then just didn't know what the hell was going on. And when... Because Buckley won an award for the in-betweeners, and then literally had to go back and do all the press shit. And then,
James Buckley rather than Jeff Buckley.
Yes.
He was busy.
It's a music award. I was there with Buckley.
And then...
Hallelujah, I found a pun.
So he's come out and literally looked absolutely distraught as I've looked up. And he's like, are you all right? And literally sitting next to him, his arm round my shoulder, giving me a bottle of water, explaining to me that just sip it, you'll be all right, with Shane McGowan.
Brilliant. I love that you were so drunk that Shane McGowan was going, come on, lad.
We'll be all right.
We'll get through this.
Buckley's face when he realised that, like, I was that bad that Shane McGowan was better.
Oh, shit.
I love it. It's a beautiful thing. Where should we go next, lads? Have you watched any other films recently or TV shows?
I've seen absolutely fucking loads. Over the last 18 months, have we talked about It's a Sin? We talked about that.
I thought about that earlier when we talked about a Colin, because there's a Colin.
Colin is the best character. Oh, Colin is a fucking goddamn legend, man. It's incredible. But there's so many. We spoke about Normal People the time before that.
Yep.
But then there's loads. I can talk about trash TV till it comes out of my mind. Like, one thing I've got a bugbear with is, what's that one? The Masked Singer.
Masked Singer, yes.
What the fuck is that about?
I was fine with that, but then they released The Masked Dancer.
Oh, no, it's The Masked Dancer one that confuses me.
Fuck off, lads. Can you tell who this person dancing is under a mask? I don't care.
I've not even heard of that.
It's beyond guesswork, Stu, and I love guesswork. Mm. And it's like...
Infamously.
It's like...
I do have 20 questions as a finisher.
Yeah, it's like randomly asking questions. They do a dance, but they're completely covered up. It's terrible. Like, how
what,
desperate
what
are
dance
they?
Would you do to let us know it's you?
I take a shit.
No, seriously.
I take a shit in a bowl, and if you don't know that's me, then let the panel eat my shit. Let them prod it round the bowl and go, oh, he lacks fibre. Oh, it's Chris Glasson. No one's gonna know that.
If I was watching The Masked Dancer and they led Grump, they led. They leant grumpily against the wall. I'd know it was Stu. And if they kind of looked really downwards and just danced with themselves, I'd know it was Chris.
Wait.
Yeah, maybe kick the production assistant in the leg.
If they paused the decks and said, check this out, and then played Two Princes, I'd know it was me.
Hey, when we're talking about birthday parties, part of
is
my
that
20...
Chris Glass or is that the bloke from Fast and Small?
Hey! What's wrong
my element and also my shame is 18 to 23, and that was all my best parts of clubbing and living it up. And if I ever... I'd love to do a movie called True Story and it'd be based on mine and other people's interpretations of like 1999 to 2003 in Birmingham, because you couldn't write as mad as that was.
I was really worried for a second of what that was going to be. Mine and other people's interpretations of 18.
But my 21st birthday was at the Custard Factory.
Yeah, loved the Custard
and,
Factory.
And James Lavelle was DJing. They drained out the pool.
And I was there.
It was amazing, right? No, I don't
absolutely
know.
Amazing.
I was. Oh, so listen. Was I. God's sake.
Listen, shit, I'm not even sure Dave was my mate at that point.
No,
that
I was there.
That was at a point when Dave came round and hung out in my house for 8 hours before I knew he had arrived. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Look how upset he is.
He gave me drugs and then fucked off to go and sit with his mate. So I completely reorganised his room.
I forgot he came over.
He forgot I came over and went to meet his mate. It was a nightmare.
So you just tidied up his room?
No. It was a student room, so there was a desk and a bed. So I completely rearranged everything that was on his desk on his bed and everything that was on his bed on his desk.
I don't doubt that for one
no,
minute.
No. That is facts. Don't doubt the fact
it was flawless.
Also,
because these rooms were like mirror images.
Yeah.
In some rooms,
I love the fact you're justifying that there was attention to detail, like we didn't know.
Yeah. Because in some rooms they were the other way round. I did it so meticulously.
Oh,
you could have walked in and thought this was one of the other rooms.
Did it brilliantly. Also,
and then I went to sleep on the floor. I was like, I'm going to let Chris walk in and sleep on his fucking bed.
And I slept on the desk.
Desk bed.
I slept on the desk. Funsies.
You're a bad friend.
I'm a terrible human being, but that's why that's why he's been a bad friend to you. So just show some understanding, okay?
Because I mean, I've only been a bad friend to Stu for like 5 years.
We've all got stories, all right? Give him a break. Where was we? TV shows.
I thought It's a Sin was incredible television.
It's a Sin was amazing. Have either of you seen 120 BPM?
No,
it's a French film. Yeah, it's a film that's
looks
essentially France at that same period. It's when HIV was becoming this worldwide epidemic. And yeah, the gay scene was suffering massively from it. They're both, again, I thought It's a Sin was amazing. I thought it was so good. I'd had it really hyped up and I was ready to be let down a bit, but I thought it was fucking...
I thought Stephen Fry was fucking exceptional.
I thought everyone was exceptional. Yeah. A lad from years and years.
Yeah,
debut performance. And
I don't know, man. That really was flawless. Like, how can you not love that person as a human being?
And the writing of that, the beach or the seafront scene with the mum and the young lady was fucking. Just the writing of it was so flawless. And as like me and Chris are slaving over scripts at points, when you watch something like that that plays out with the dialogue is just...
Yeah, but the dialogue you can't write that good until
Russell
you get...
Russell T. Davis, isn't it, who wrote that? And he's just an absolute G.
Yeah, homeboy.
He was on Brett's podcast on Films to Be Buried With, and it was fucking great.
Oh, he's a dude, absolute dude. I watched something literally last week, a five-part thing, called High on the BBC iPlayer. It's a docu-drama.
Of course it is.
About, can you remember the...
Stop headbutting the microphone.
Sorry, he's just going to go on about a documentary that's either about someone who is incestuous with Michael Fassbender or they were a band that I never knew about.
It was about the two girls that famously about 10 years ago got done for drug dealing in Peru from Ibiza.
Oh,
it was a really high-profile case, Irish girl and this Scottish girl. And the Irish girl documents her story, how she left Ireland, had never been on holiday, just bought a one-way ticket to Ibiza to go and, at a very young age, to go and see what happened. Got a job, and within 18 days, was duped, become a drug mule, and was being told to go to Spain, but it wasn't Spain. She was being flown to Peru. Wow. And then when she got to Peru, was being flown somewhere else within Peru in the middle of nowhere, and then was told, yeah, just collect this thing and then take it back. You'll be fine. Like, we know we know all the people in the airport. You'll be fine. Like, it's all part. They're all in on it. And then when she got to this, met this, like, person that gave her the stuff to take, it wasn't, like, a little parcel. It filled a whole suitcase where she could barely lift it.
Yeah.
And constantly being messaged, it's fine, it's fine. And then, obviously, it wasn't fine.
But it was also totally her fault, so she should do time for it.
And then there's that. There's obviously that. And then, yeah, and then it goes to her story within a South American prison, being an Irish girl and a Scottish girl.
What's the Joe Cole one? Prayer for...
Yeah.
Dime.
Oh, my God. Prayer for dawn.
And that's a similar thing of the Liverpool
being
that
fucking terrifying.
That's fucking harrowing.
It really is.
Amazing, though, isn't it? His performance in that and the amount of the cast who were legit from that world, that weren't actors, that were just gangsters.
Yeah. The wire styling.
The best thing about that film was the fact that there's no subtitles.
It's the best for you because you can't read.
Just the fact that it puts you in his position where you're lost. You don't know what's going on.
Right. Yeah,
you feel as confused as him.
It's overwhelming.
He literally, you could tell he trained at Muay Thai because that was obviously his way out of prison. High on the BBC iPlayer has been one of the a really good thing to watch.
I'll watch a race. It's not out yet. I got previews because of a couple of podcasts, but I've got a stutter. I can't say it. Deceit. My name is Lizzie was the original name. And it's the story of that honey trap thing that happened with a potential killer in the mid-90s. And it's a true story. It was a big thing. The police got a lot of stick because they felt they'd lured this guy who, again, I'm not going to give spoilers, but may or may not have been innocent.
That was a high-profile case.
High-profile. And this was really good because it really puts a bit of a spin on it. It doesn't paint the guy who is supposedly honey-trapped to be the baddie, but it also kind of explains the reality of that. And you've seen that in numerous... A TV show that me and Chris I love, The Shield, is one where you see the line being pushed and pushed and pushed for good reason, and then you go, oh, hang on, the line's been crossed now. It's been pushed because you want to get the criminals and you have to keep pushing it because the rules are changing.
But weirdly, here's the genius about the Shield is you forget the line was comfortably crossed in the pilot episode.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the idea.
I thought that was going to be in your recent top five pilots. And I'm glad that you brought it up, I think, in the conversation. Mm. But I sure, as they were getting to number one, I was like, it's going to be The Shield. That's the best pilot.
Yeah, you boys love that, don't you?
Of all time. It was a really good episode.
Thanks, mate.
One more to throw in from the BBC. Yep. Your mate Stevie Graham.
Time.
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, it's really good.
I can't wait.
Me and Niamh Aragar were just discussing this recently. He was in Deceit. I fucking love a 4 or 5 parter.
Yeah, man.
It's lovely, isn't it? I think, again, it's attention span a little bit, but I think it's also artistic as well in that there's a tendency with streaming services at points, and we've discussed this with Marvel on Netflix in the past, that they have to make it 12 or 13 episodes, and sometimes... That's a 10-episode series.
Yeah, exactly.
If that was 10, it'd be perfect. There's always 2 or 3 in the middle that are just a tread in water. And I love a 4 or 5-parter, and Time was one of those. And for me, it was extra emotional because Hannah, Stevie's real-life wife, who's an amazing actor as it is, fucking held her own with Sean Bean putting in one of the performances of the year. Stevie putting in one of the performances of the year. That young lad, I've forgotten his name, I follow him on Instagram, the Scouse lad who's bullying him a bit, who's bullying Sean Bean at the phone and all that, his performance was just...
Yeah, terrifying.
Mind-blowing. But what a series. Mm. There's a new series coming out called Help that I've seen a good chunk of, written by Jack... I've been drinking, so I've forgotten his name.
He wrote
a lot of his Dark Materials, and I think he wrote The Virtues, but he wrote a series for Stevie and Jodie Comer. Stevie is kind of talked about, but not talked about that much. You do need the microphone, Chris.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
you're getting that out of the way. Stevie kind of found Jodie. He saw her in a play and pushed her as like, this girl's amazing. So, because she's Scouse as well, despite the fact she's played all these different nationalities, they wanted to work together, and Jack, I can't remember his name, wrote a show for them during the pandemic about people in a care home who have got a shortage of PPE and all this kind of thing. And Stevie, I believe, is one of the people in the care home, and Jodie is one of the nurses. And the bits that Stevie has sent me of that, again, you think of those two on set in a show together. Wow. They're both just next level. It feels like completely a different worlds, and then you're like, no, they're the same world. They that's so. I can't wait for that. That's going to be a big one. I can't. Yeah,
Jodie Comer's incredible.
She's so good, isn't she?
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, I think she's just.
Do you watch Killing Eve?
No,
really it's good.
Her performances are cracking.
It's good. Yeah. There's interesting dynamics there. I like the fact that the protagonist is not particularly very likable. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult, though, that, because if a protagonist is so unlikable that you don't want to come on them with the journey, Susan Oh, you won't. You'll stop watching it.
Yeah.
But it just about drags you along with Susan and Jodie's fucking story.
The thing is really the antagonist good. Is so charismatic that you're dragged along, because Jodie's performance is so enduring and just, yeah.
I think stories are completely driven by characters. Like, you can have the most... and actually, Stu, you said to me the other day, and you really turned me on to watching it.
you really turned me on with
that porn-up box set again, isn't it?
was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mm. And I kind of... I'm in your school of thought with it, mate, really, is that I find it really great to watch, because I'm not really... I guess I am following the storyline. I understand the storyline. It's not troublingly complex. It's the character, the dives into the character and that I find absolutely fascinating. Mm. I can't wait. Like I was saying to Pip and Dave, I meant to watch it all today, but my stupid mum fucked it up.
He was talking to both of my personalities.
Thanks so much, buddy.
But I haven't been able to finish it today. But I've really loved it. I've really enjoyed it. Like Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio, just never ceases to amaze me. I think
his performance in that is next level.
He's an actor playing an actor that sometimes switches in and out of a character, being critical of an actor.
That was it. He's an actor playing an actor, giving a bad performance, and then when he switches in that scene with that young girl, and he gives an amazing performance.
Yeah.
It's fucking
with the girl
hair
on his lap.
Standing up. Yeah,
it's brilliant. And the one before it, he obviously overacts as well. Yeah. And he's obviously stressed out and not being able to fucking hit the nail on the head.
Stop hitting the table.
I will hit whoever I want. I would love to know, and I don't think I ever actually want to know all of Leo DiCaprio's life. I think he must have had the most interesting life.
I think it's best to be a bit mysterious, but he's a G. His performances are... An excellent. Have either of you watched the Tarantino documentary on Prime?
No.
Oh, it's good. It's called Q8, I think it is, because at that point he'd done 8 of his... Like, he's always said he's only going to do 10 films, and then it's done. It's this body of work, and it's fucking amazing. It's going through his... It's just under 2 hours. Really good.
Where's he at? 9? He's at 9
now. He's at 9 now, yeah. That's why I'm nervous, because I'm adamant to get in one, and he's only got one left. So I don't think it's going to happen.
Mate, you're,
I don't think I'm there yet.
The best thing is, Jackie Brown, you getting shot in a boot, and that happens. So that's not going to happen, man.
But the bit that blew my mind on this documentary is there's a whole section on Bob Richardson, which is his DOP, his director of photography, who they say he wouldn't have done The Hateful Eight on film if he didn't have such trust in Bob. And I was...
That's my least favourite.
Really? I loved it. It blew me away. I'm a big
fan of... Hateful Eight?
I'm a big fan of Walton Goggins. And he's him being brought in. Yeah, yeah.
I'm a big fan of fucking Kurt Russell as well, man.
100%. But I was on a set with Bob Richardson when it was announced that he'd got his Oscar nomination or award for... A Once Upon a Time in America, and it was like I'd been around this guy a little bit. It's a thing that's not been announced, but I happened to be on set that day, and to be watching this Tarantino thing, and then there's just a whole section on this dude that I'd been like, he was just a bit of an eccentric guy. I didn't know how important he was, and then they're like, from like a few films in, he was just him and Tarantino were just building these visual landscapes, and that. Fuck me up, man. It was...
That's amazing.
Because you do go, this is... like I spoke to Neve Algar again about this recently, because she's done A Raised by Wolves, which is amazing sci-fi series.
Yeah, it's great. It's really clever.
Completely created and directed by Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
And she's got to work for two full series day in, day out with Ridley Scott. Yeah, and she was just like, so many times, like, it's just... mind-blowing. Like, it's coming up in a few weeks after this episode, just talking about that a bit, how you have to accept it and move on because you're at work and you've got a job to do. But it's so easy to fall into, man, every day I'm waking up in the morning and going to work with a literal icon. And that was it. I said, the thing I worked on with Bob Richardson, it was very brief, but watching this Tarantino documentary, as soon as he popped up, I knew he'd done obviously Once Upon a Time in America because he got the Oscar nom. But to be watching this documentary, going, oh wow, this guy, and Hateful Eight and stuff like the landscapes and that, and the way they shot it in 75mm, I believe, so that it could be a certain cinemas only showed it in 75mm. Oh, nice. So it's this huge, these vast landscapes. But the risk of that, because it costs a fortune. And you're shooting these huge snowy landscapes, but
so have either of you? So now both of you love a bit of cinema. Have either of you ventured back to the cinema yet?
No, yet. I'm really looking forward to it. But I know what I'm going to watch as well.
Oh, I planned it. For?
Some people talk about nothing. Some people, whatever. Da, 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 da. You all can have a go at me.
People do nothing. Big in Japan.
That one.
Yeah.
Pip, tell me, what am I talking about?
People.
Just do nothing.
Thank you. That's what I can't make. That's what I can't make to watch.
It's really good. I've seen
it. Have you
seen it? Because I did a podcast that comes out after this one with Steve Stamp.
Well, go on, show.
Who plays Steve's.
No.
You're now arguing over snacks. But who plays Steve's, who has never really done any interviews out of character. And he was amazing. But because of that, I had to pre-watch the film. And it's cracking.
Steve's
but
is cracking.
I went... on the hottest day of the year so far, a few weeks back, to see two films. Chris is now putting snacks in Stu's drink. And what did I see? I saw Nobody.
Yeah.
I saw Quiet Place 2 and Nobody. And
have you seen Tomorrow World?
I beg your pardon?
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, Gabe.
Tomo's World.
Have you seen
Tomorrow World. I really enjoyed it.
Tomorrow's World with a... Tomorrow World with Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Full of so many gaping plot holes, it's ridiculous.
It's cliche after cliche, but that's what you want from a big action.
Absolutely.
Right?
So for me, in lockdown, I've been watching movies with my mum who's got late stage dementia.
That's a great choice. Then. Just that.
Oh
big.
My God, my mum fucking loved it, and for that reason, man, I loved it.
We've missed two Polaroids again. But yeah, we just...
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sorry for the silence there. It's not your internet connection for this download. Yeah, Tomorrow World, they did very well with the monster design. As much R. Geiger did for Alien.
Here's,
yeah, completely.
Here's a big one for you. Next week, I'm going to go and see Black Widow at Blue Water or Canvey or any of the Everyman cinemas in
Scarlett
London.
Scarlett Johansson's with you.
Because a trailer that me and Luke Van Boom made for the Distraction Pieces podcast is on before a Black Widow. I shot it in my little studio. And it was an exchange thing because I did a thing for Pearl and Dean to just...
Shut up. That's my most hated noise ever, that. Stop it! Hate it.
I did a thing for Pearl and Dean. I gave them a free advertising on the podcast to say that cinemas are open again. And they've given me a free advert. So I filmed it in my studio and then I hit up Luke to say, can you make this look good?
Sorry,
you,
make note of weakness.
So, yeah.
It's not a weakness. That makes me strong.
At all of the Everyman's cinemas in London and Greater London, at the Blue Water Showcase and at the Canvey Island randomly, if you go and watch a Black Widow between the 4th of July and like the 12th of August... It's a little advert of me going, welcome, welcome, welcome to the cinema. And then
I super want to see that because
it's crazy.
Because the cinema is my little church.
Yeah, same, man, same.
It's my little church. To see you there is going to ruin the fucking cinema. And I swear to God, if you ever bring up Pearl and Dean, because I've got a problem with it.
Why?
Like, I've got a big problem with that as a ringtone or anything. Like, it's a terrible sounding thing to hear in the cinema. But I want to see my mate. I want to see my mate do his thing. So I will go. But I will fucking execute the pair of you. If you ever bring that up again, that theme tune,
I'd rather you
really
don't
upsets
go
me. It upsets me a lot.
But I'm going to go and see that, and then on my birthday, I'm going to go and see James Gunn's Suicide Squad. Because as you know, I always go and see a film on my birthday, which is why.
Because as you know, I'm boringly predictable,
but,
and I'm going to invite nobody to go and watch a film that nobody wants to see. Chris would like to see it. I'm not going to invite him because he'll be too much. He'll have some fun. He'll buy me an ice cream and he'll put the ice cream in the wrong order.
My worry is if I invite Chris, he'll have some kind of brain issues and get confused of what year it is. Because one of my favourite birthday viewings was Mission Impossible Fallout. Mission Impossible Fallout.
Did you see that last year?
Which was in Chris's Films of 2020 on the Hardcore Listing podcast. It came out in 2017, I think.
17, yeah. I tell you what.
It was my birthday film for 2017. I had a lovely time.
Shut up. It's the best. Even if it was 3 years late, it's got Henry Cavill in. I sent you guys a message at about midnight the other day telling you how much I love Henry Cavill. Mm-hmm. He's the man. It doesn't matter what year he is. It's always Henry Cavill year.
Have I even told you about the evening I spent with Henry Cavill? Because we've not seen each other since then.
Tell me about that.
So when I went, me and Ross DJ'd at Simon Pegg's 50th. And, you know, Olivia Colman was there. Gillian Anderson was there.
Oh, wow.
Tom Cruise was there.
Just classic Cruise.
But Henry Cavill was there. And at the end of the
night...
At the end of the night, a lot of these big names had left. Smiley was there. Like me and Ross DJing and looking out at Michael Smiley dancing with Olivia Colman and Adam and Joe and Edgar Wright was just mind-blowing.
Shit.
But yeah, at the end of the night, the last people there, was about 20 people left, and I went to say goodbye to Peg, and he's there with Henry Cavill. And
Henry Cavill
I've said numerous
is my
times,
boy.
I've never seen a human as perfect in the flesh as Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill is my, like, honestly, I love you guys. I love you. You're always me, my best mates.
Thanks, man.
Until I meet Henry Cavill, and I will never... phone you guys again.
Mate.
I won't even think it. It's like when you think you met Pip, literally be like, it's pre-Henry. It's not BC, it's not pre-Google, it's PH, pre-Henry. Because after that, Oh, yeah, man, I'm on that guy.
Check
dick.
Your pH levels, bro.
Honestly. Can I have a bit more alcohol, please?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Thanks,
but yeah, it was perfect, honestly, in the flesh.
Bumped into Rossi's parents when I was out running, and they were walking their dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Emmons, how are you? And they were like, pitched. Good. Known them a long time.
Oh, hello.
And I was out of breath. We had a lovely chat, and I said, I've not seen Ross for a while. She went, oh. He DJed at a place where Tom Cruise was. And I went, I said, I heard about that. Yeah,
true story.
I said, Pip was there. Sure. She went, let me tell you who else was there. I went, who's that? Rossi's dad went, Superman.
Oh, mate.
True story. The best part is the morning after.
I knew it, of course, but I went, you're joking. I was like,
Superman was there.
Superman was
the
there.
Best,
oh, for fuck's sake.
The best part of that story is the morning after we did that gig, I got a text off Ross saying, a great night last night. Like, thanks for having me along, thanks, blah, mate. Blah. And the last bit was, could you text me a list of who was there, please? Because he didn't know it. Who any of them cunts were. It was just perfect. But yeah.
Henry Cavill is the best human being.
I just had a glance on my potential films of the year list. And the one that came up... Have either of you seen Promising Young Woman? I don't think you have, right?
I've had lots of people say you should watch it, which I think is in some kind of way some offensive thing that I need to watch it.
No, it's really good. It's really good. But another one on my list was The Dig, which I'd had on my list to watch. And then I heard you getting really emotional about it. And I thought, I fucking adore fucking Chris. I trust his opinion. And I gave it a watch and I thought it was bloody wonderful.
It wrecked me. We bought a pizza that night and... being a vegan, you know how that, you know how difficult that is.
Meat feast.
And we bought a meat feast pizza. I sucked the bone off a lamb, a living lamb's leg.
Cider wings. Yeah. Oh, do you know what? Fuck it. Sling a fried egg on the top of that pizza, please.
vegan cheese. No. You do ribs. Yeah, have some ribs. You got dripping.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
It's a good film, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a really good
film. Very emotional, but I don't think we're in a place to really get into it and dissect it.
100% just recommend it. Well, Ralph Wayne, they all smash it, man. They really do.
Who does?
Don't fucking try and bait me, mate. I always get names right.
I don't know. I thought you said Ralph
Cifaretto from The Sopranos was in it. Ralphie.
Honestly, the performance from...
Have you literally just took my drink? Like then...
The performance from Ralph Mouth from Happy Days was just next level. Right, another one I had a note of names that have gone out of fashion is Wilf. You don't get many Wilfs anymore.
Wilf.
I had a Wilf in my band.
You didn't have a Wilf in your
Is
band.
Is that a euphemism?
Well, no. Wilf.
Oh, shit! I've got a note here we haven't talked about. Your fake memory syndrome. Oh, my God, this is amazing.
Okay, let's go.
So, on Netflix, because there's no other subscription channel, there was... I started watching something. It was a girl describing the smell... of 9/11.
Oh, wow.
And how it swept in over her flat, and she saw the smoke come over. And she was like, actually, she came to realize that there was no way that 9/11 and the after effects could have even touched where she lived. Right? It's about the mind explained. It's about fake memory syndrome.
How much do you have to stress that point?
Fake memory syndrome.
Right.
No, this is why it's interesting, is because Pip is a guy who is way more reliable than me in everything. Other than not being hairy, you'd go to Pip, right?
Yeah.
So Pip, the other day, and he said it to me, you said this to me about 6 months ago, you said something, and my little brain, like, did a little tweak, And I went, I'm not sure if that's correct, but because I'm less reliable.
This is beautiful. The months and months you talk on your podcast of me hearing something you've said and bringing it up 6 months later. And then here it is. Something I said six months ago that Chris has made note of.
You said something.
That wasn't a note. That was a paragraph or two.
Yeah, exactly. Like, basically, you said something at some point.
Okay. And I was wrong. Let's go.
Because it's you, I thought, I'm wrong. And then I saw you not that long ago, and someone said, what is your dream or nightmare? And you said, chased by a witch.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Well, I said, yeah. No, there was a tweet what would you be if you'd followed your dream as a kid? And I retweeted it saying, chased by a witch. Because I had a recurring dream where I was chased by a witch.
This is where I think you might have fake memory syndrome. Okay, I say I think because I can't be definite about it. But
I mean, just quickly, to put a lack of confidence in Chris, I've had doctors say that that is actually related to how I got my stutter.
Right. I'm still going to say I'm not sure about this because...
Stick with your guesswork, mate. Stick with your
guesswork. No, this isn't guesswork because I've got evidence of it. Ooh. So, you know where I've always talked about my lucid dreaming?
Yep.
It is.
Yep.
I can prove it because I've written it down.
Wow. I back
20 years
Chris
ago.
A lucid dreaming, 100%.
No.
Genuinely. No, I do, generally, because he's talked about it for so long and it's
I had lucid dreaming at like 8 or 9, which I used to discuss with Jamie, but everyone found routinely boring. It's predominantly
Ben Simpson.
It's
a cliche, isn't it? That hearing someone else's dreams
is super
boring.
But, I get it. I understand this. I accept it.
Still going to talk about it?
Yes. Okay. Strap him. So after weird shit happened around the age of 27, which isn't really that long ago to you guys, but to me was at least probably 20 years from when I started having it, I then started to write about it. Mm-hmm. So at home, in my mum's house right now, between all the dildos, is all the fucking script cards.
Oh, dope. Of your
they're there.
Dreams,
they're there now. They're physically there because after I saw Dave Pip talk about this, I went to go, am I mental? Because most of the time, it's me having fake memory syndrome. I understand who I am as a human being. And I went there, and in a neat stack of cards that's this high is everything I wrote at 27 about my lucid dreaming experience at that point. And I remember before that talking to Pip about my lucid dreaming experience.
Were you the witch in my dreams?
No. Here's the mad thing is that I remember telling you about what taught me how to lucid dream. Mm-hmm. And my lucid dream was driven by the repeat scenario of, you know, we're talking about your toys here tonight, right? My repeat scenario is in a spare bedroom in my mum and dad's house that used to be my original bedroom, playing with toys in a certain position with Han Solo, Boba Fett, Wolverine. I know it sounds mental. And my mum would come up the stairs and then she would be a witch. She'd be completely green with bright red eyes.
That's freaking horrible.
And I told Pip about this, like, it's so long ago, like, as 40-year-old human beings, that it could potentially... So, basically, what I'm saying is, Pip, I might be completely wrong here. Witches might have chased you. But when I read what you said, and what you said also to me, like, about a year before that, about a witch, and I didn't say, hey, I think it might be... Yeah. I think that might be me telling you that at 20, because I would have told him at around 20, 25. Like UFC number one. Yeah. Welcome to the most... That's niche. That's niche for anyone who doesn't watch.
Go and watch the intro of UFC 1. Welcome to UFC.
You are about to see something. Yes.
We watched that so many times.
But I really think, dude, that you might be having a bit of fake memory syndrome because I've written it like, so I've got like, honestly, 60 cards and it goes, way, it's so mad, the storyline there. Like, I don't want to go back to it, because the reason why I put it away was the reason why I had a problem with lucid dreaming. But it's there. There's like 70 cards that I wrote about my experience. And like card 2 is chased by a witch, green skin, red eyes. I don't know if that's what you remember. So I think, is that fake memory or
it's,
not?
It's not. But I...
Oh, fuck's sake.
Get what you're saying.
I've been talking about an hour.
And the only reason I know that is when I was 13 or 14, I had hypnotherapy for my stutter. And one of the things I brought up was this recurring dream I had as a kid of this witch coming up the stairs. You've been in my mum's house, so in that living room, coming up the
she's
stairs.
She's come up for me, man.
Coming up the stairs and coming into my bedroom, and I'm trying to scream, and I can't.
Oh,
so it's
right.
Just empty.
Yeah, yeah.
And what the hypnotherapist theorised was, it's PTSD from when I almost drowned as a kid.
Right.
And when I tried to scream for my parents, a wave would go in my mouth, so I couldn't scream. So that's the only reason I know it's not
I wonder
a fake
if,
memory because
I wonder if,
that was kind of clinically done before
cool,
we met,
man. Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if that whole... which
you still
actually,
need the mic, Stu. Stu did exactly the same as Chris earlier. Let's get rid of the mic, fuck this.
I wonder if I wonder if then that is a... because
one,
of life and growth.
Because of fucking grot bags.
Grot bags.
And that brings us to top five TV show character names, because my number one...
Grot bags.
...was grot bags. Who would you have on your top five a TV show
characters? My favourite would be Venger, I guess.
Venger from Dungeons & Dragons.
Venger is...
it's a
like
good name. That didn't even come up.
Darth Vader is number two. Venger for me in terms
Vader's
of...
Darth Vader's a fucking great one.
Darth Vader is number two. For me, Venger is number
it's
one.
Film, though. I shrunk it down to TV show, which annoyed
Stu. What, so, what is it,
Travis
villains
Bickle.
Or just...
Just TV show character names.
TV.
Like I had Curly Watts in there from EastEnders, because that was a...
Coronation Street.
Coronation Street, yeah. Correct. My apologies.
Shit.
But,
Mr. T, man, simple, direct to the point.
He was my number one.
Yeah. Oh,
really? Yeah, well...
But,
yeah.
Let's sober up a bit and clarify that the actor is Mr. T and the character was Bad Attitude Baracus, and that's why he was number one.
Not just that.
B.A. Baracus.
Clubber Lang
as well. He's had some good
names. If that guy isn't in your top five human beings, man, you have fucked up.
Did we speak about it the other day?
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
the
yeah.
fact that he was Muhammad Ali's bodyguard.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing, right?
That guy got cancer and was still a legend, man. Even his rap about kids and mums is
love your mother. There ain't no other.
Is there anything that we've forgotten to talk about?
Your fucking micro-penis.
Any music or TV or films? We've covered all of that, right?
I guess so. We've completed it all, right?
This past bloody year, I've got noted, but we've covered that.
My dick, I found treasure, pube birthday present, Pip's fake memory syndrome, I think you should leave, which we haven't talked about, great TV show.
Stu, have you watched any of that?
No.
Because I recommended it to Chris and Mark, I think you should leave on Netflix, it will blow your mind. It's a sketch show, a comedy sketch show, they're 50-minute episodes, so it's really easy.
Oh, you were speaking about this yesterday.
Yeah, it's so fucking good. And I was really pleased because, again, I know in group messages, people recommend stuff a lot and half the time ignore it. We've all got busy lives. Yeah. But I was glad that Chris and Mark both started it, and then you watch an episode or so and it's the most addictive shit.
I've found myself not being very sleepy lately because I think I've been maybe like lazing a bit more.
I got the answer for that, baby.
And so I've been staying up. And
Chris is getting his condoms out, obviously. That's the rustling that you can hear.
But so I've been exposed to late night television.
Yeah.
I'll expose you.
Naked Attraction, which I've never really seen before. That's a very bizarre programme.
Do you know that a guest on Hardcore Listen has been on that?
No.
Yeah.
I'll leave that as a mystery.
No. Because my girlfriend told me about it and we were like, oh, really?
Who was it?
We look, well, I'm not going to, because Pip didn't say about it.
Well, he's not in charge.
It's Rebecca Crowe.
Oh, right. Oh, really? Okay, yeah. She got a gash out in there and all that.
Come on, Jesus.
Hold on, you just said her name. Don't laugh at what I just said with gash.
In the script I'm working on at the moment, there's a strip club and the locals affectionately refer to it as Bangers and Gash.
Bangers and Gash.
It's a good name. But yeah, Rebecca.
Yeah, she got.
She was amazing. She won. She answered all the questions amazingly.
She won. She got naked. I mean, yeah, Rebecca's brilliant. I mean, yeah. It's weird when your friends.
I don't think he's friends with you anymore.
In that environment, and it's weird because like it's so difficult because we've talked about this earlier in previous episodes when you paint yourself as a picture of someone who. But I really like it when my friends are pursuing whatever they are, like Jess Megan, you know, and Rebecca. And we've had a few other models on. And when they pop up and I want to like their picture and I'm like, I'm liking it because I think it looks really cool. But I'm like, sometimes my girlfriend see me like that picture?
It's all right. What they all need to do is they need to buy a dog. And then you ain't got to stress anymore about liking your mate's picture.
Why? Because my dog's pressing through Instagram.
Because she goes out with your mate, so it's weird. And like, you can't just keep liking your mate's bird's pictures. But when there's a dog in it, all of a sudden it's all right to like it.
That's genius, right? So
that's what they've got to do. Okay. Rebecca, buy yourself a cute dog.
Get yourself a dog, then I won't get criticised for innocently going, I think that's a cool photo. Also, Rebecca likes the game Pandemic. And I really would love to have a little game with Rebecca. Don't make it dirty. Just a game of Rebecca Legacy. Pandemic Legacy with my mates, because Pandemic is brilliant. I saw Rebecca playing it.
Perfect.
Oh, you make me feel like a fucking dirty scumbag.
Yeah. Look at you.
I would say...
Dirty old man.
I've let you all talk there. I would say...
I've let you all talk there.
I've let you all talk about. So I would say just like frivolously and wonderfully, because again, it's great to get likes off people as stupid as. The reason I got my phone out was because I was thinking of Ricky Hall, a guy on Instagram,
Ricky,
called Eavesdropper.
That's a weird name.
He's really good. He's an activist, but also he's a fucking fit as fuck tattooed gay black man. And there's a
mad name.
A load of people that I just follow absolutely
religiously.
Religiously vehemently and just like away. Because at the end of the day, they're not going to think, oh, Chris is coming on to me, or Stu, the fucking old granddad I met on a podcast, is flirting with me. They're going to think, this is nice. I've got a like. It's nice to get likes. So I think we should worry less on social media.
Yeah,
is what
I think
I'm
saying. I think you're coming out from the wrong place. I think, you know, if you step back and look at it, you know, they might just think that kind of maverick, like kind of guy.
That maverick.
Stu, the guy who makes his own rules.
He's dipped
always,
his chin in an ashtray.
He's never had to have
also,
a
he's in the
normal
bath.
Job.
Exactly,
he runs clubs.
Exactly,
he's
mate.
Got a magazine.
Yeah, he ain't after me at all.
I'm not a hybrid of like Wayne Lineker and
the Chode.
And who's the other cool guy?
Gary.
No, the one that string fella. All the cool ones. Yes, I'm like that.
All the cool older thing. Boys. Anyway, let's wrap things up.
And with Brian Bellow.
Let's wrap things up. I loved him in The Flash.
How good was he in The Flash?
That's a deep cut. let's wrap things up. Stu, would you like to think of someone, or shall I?
Oh.
And Chris will ask questions and guess.
Yeah, I'm going for this one.
Go on, Stu.
You've got to ask
sorry, what are we
20
doing?
Questions, dude.
Okay,
20
all right.
Questions.
Can, I mean, can it's you have called... a little top up? Come on, little top up.
Right, you keep doing them as shots. There's a sipping drink.
It's called 20 Questions, but Chris thought he invented it for a few podcasts.
I now know. Every time I pour
are we
this,
playing 20 Questions, my game? Okay, right.
Every time
come
I pour
on.
This, I
right
know
to the
I'm
top.
Be clearing it off my sofa in about 2 hours' time.
And let's play 20 Questions by Chris Glasson.
That's what it should be called.
Right.
Let's play Chris Glasson's 20 Questions. Let's play 20 questions. A Chris Glasson joint.
Right, go.
Can I start Siri when we play this?
No.
Siri.
No, everyone's phones on airplane mode. You've got to ask Stu.
My name.
It's like Siri.
It's on you. Sorry, we've got to do 20 questions.
That's you have questions. No, he's thinking of someone. He's thinking of someone.
I've thought of someone.
All right, okay.
He's thought of someone.
Is it Brad Pitt?
No.
Is it close?
No.
It is close. Trust me.
That's too close.
It's close. It's close to Brad Pitt. Trust me.
Very
is it,
quick.
Trust
is it
me.
Brad Pitt and is it close? Two questions. I'm going to have a reading.
How close was I? That's my question number three. Was I medium, far?
That's four.
No. It's question three. How close was I?
That's not a question.
Listen, Stu. It's my question. Don't tell me if it's a question or not.
Right.
How close was I?
Way off.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have a little think about it.
Podcast
guy. Is it the person who wrote those things about the wizard?
Tolkien?
No, the woman who did it more recently. This is all question
Harry
four.
One.
Yeah.
No, it's not, no.
J.K. Rowling. All right, okay. Well, we've narrowed it down.
Oh, well done for answering it as well.
Is it a male singer from a shitty band that you used to like from the 90s that I wouldn't know?
No.
I tell you what, Pip, I've been narrowing this motherfucker down.
I've got a level with you, Pip. He's not doing overly well. He just keeps getting...
What number is he on?
He's on six, but six. I'm being kind.
He's on six. I was counting. So he asks, is it Brad Pitt? Is it close? How close is it? Is it that writer?
No. Is it...
Whoa! Don't waste our guesses.
No, that was your question.
Don't let Pip guess. Because shit at guessing.
No, you're
has
six.
He got...
No,
listen.
That was your question.
Shut up.
That was the one that was joking.
Shut up! Has he got a gluten intolerance?
I'm deducting a point. Every time you shout, I'll bang your hand.
Has he got a gluten intolerance?
I don't know.
That's not an answer. That means I get another question.
But you could draw from that, you moron.
What, he's a fucking...
He's a he!
I draw it. Do you know what? When you pull out someone's emotional reaction...
Was there a mention of J.K. Rowling while I was pissing?
There was.
I just want to quickly say, fuck J.K. Rowling, but continue.
All right.
I'm not a fan of books.
No one's a fan of fucking substandard fantasy genres.
You're literally
Did they write?
That's like your main
probably
thing.
Probably if you were in a mastermind would be your chosen subject.
My chosen subject is substandard fantasy genres.
Oh, this will cut out loads of people. It'll really narrow it down. Did they write the Silmarillion?
That's eight.
Did they write it or not?
That's Shane. Nine.
No.
You're telling me what my question
I'll move on
are.
To the next one.
No, I'm going to fucking... I will move on when I'm fucking ready to, when I ask a question. Okay? 10. Okay, that's 10. Right. Okay.
The 10th question was, okay?
We know... honestly, Pip, we've got to really use your brain now because I'm really asking really
Mate,
specific questions. I'm asking specific questions.
Maybe,
and it's always the what's worse with Stu. It's always someone. Is it Graham McNeil? I swear to God, if it's Graham McNeil, I'll kill you.
It's not
Graham.
It's 11.
I wish it was. I would have so gone for that in a little bit.
It's 11.
Oh, fucking hell! It's 11. Right. I'm going to start asking
Maybe
much...
ask about their job.
No, I'm going to narrow it down.
Hey, he's got you covered, mate. Shush, back off, Pip.
I'm going to narrow it down, man. Just calm down. Are they a big fan of the clothes label Chippy that was popular in the 90s? They did towel-in polo tops.
I'm aware of their goods. I don't think so. I'd probably say that's 11, unfortunately.
11.
Okay, now we've got to get serious, all right? Yeah. All right. Right, okay.
Or Benetton or
So then Mal, remember he gave that away. I think he gave it away earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be in the creative industries because he don't know shit about anything else, mm-hmm. right? So
fair analysis.
So now we know those things. What else do we know about Stu? Like, what does he like?
He's got to be a musician,
yeah,
right?
Maybe, but also...
You did ask if it was a 90s musician that you hadn't heard of, and I said no.
But also, he really likes Michael Fassbender, so instead of asking instead of narrowing it down...
Close.
Let's just ask that, because that will narrow... That will take one person out of the, like...
Definitely.
You could ask if it's an actor.
The billions population. Mm. All right, okay, all right. I'm going to take my lawyer's advice.
Go for it.
Is it an actor?
It's not, no.
Mm, that takes a lot of people
right,
out.
You're fucking fired.
No, that takes a lot of people out. You would have only taken out a Fassbender.
I never.
You'd ask Fassbender. Now you've taken out Fassbender and Gosling.
I am so sick of
the two questions.
I am fucking so sick of this guy's advice, dude. I tell you what.
I don't know
mate.
Why you pay for it, mate.
I tell you what. When they dig everyone up out of that patio, you're the last person I'm calling, Dave.
Do you think it's a musician?
Right, hold on. Let me ask you good...
Because you only asked if it was a 90s musician you've never heard of. It might be a 90s musician you have heard of.
Is it a musician?
No.
You fucking shit.
I'd go, are they famous?
I've got a much better question. Are you prepared to die if I get this wrong? That's a really good question.
Imagine not.
It's a hefty question.
Are you prepared to die? Though? Are you prepared for your family to die of fucking all the worst things if you get it wrong?
Because, all the worst things?
Yeah, all of them.
Oh, no.
That one that everyone
probably
hates.
Say no.
Actually, now I've asked that, I don't think that helped me.
Don't think it eliminates.
Oh, shit.
Go with, are they famous? Because it might be like your dad or... Or someone like
Stop
that.
Advising me, because your last advice was shit.
No, we've eliminated a lot.
I can't ask him this question. How many more have I got left? What is it?
You're 14? On 14.
You're on 14.
Does that mean
left.
I've got six or five? You've because six sometimes left. Maths is
six,
shit.
Six, mate.
Six left, mate. You got this.
Okay.
You've done really well so far, mate.
I know I've done well. Everyone listening knows I've done well. We don't need you egging me on.
I mean, you know,
are they famous?
What's that?
Are they famous?
Yes.
Yes. That rules out all of your friends and family.
That's 15.
They're not an actor or a musician.
Right, okay. Hold on.
A comedian, maybe? Could it be Rich Wilson?
No, I want to think for myself. Is it Rich Wilson?
Are you asking if it's a comedian? Because maybe that might...
No, I want to know if it's Rich Wilson, you cunt!
It's not Rich Wilson. I'm sorry.
Jesus
sorry
Christ.
That you feel I'm a cunt about that.
I don't like anyone giving me a hand.
No, of course not, mate. That's no, I understand. Right. I appreciate you.
I feel you.
You're an independent man.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, I'm having a little think about it. Are they a comedian?
No, that's 17.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No, that's not a question, by the way.
I think it was.
No, it wasn't. I said Jesus Christ.
No, that wasn't a question. No, it can be.
No, it's not. Unless I say Jesus one. Christ.
It's not Jesus Christ, that's 18. 18.
That's 18. Right. Jesus. Oh, fuck.
You're a very volatile character tonight, Chris. If I'm not going to lie, you're scaring me.
Okay, there's a little clue there. I'm going to have a wee. I'm going to have a wee.
Two questions left. Hold your wee.
No, I need a
two,
wee.
Two questions.
I'm a volatile fighter.
I didn't say that.
No, but he did. And if he's wrong, then it's his problem.
All right.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. We're all going to have a good think about this now.
Should we all have a good think?
No. Shh. Are you a fighter?
Yes.
Oh, yes! And now after 20 questions, I can fucking smash it with my number one.
Last question.
With everything I've learned, with all the fucking information I know, I can't even narrow it down now, can I? Because I was showboating.
Well, that's the idea.
I was showboating earlier. I've got to just pick a fucking fighter's name. I'm not asking Stu now. How many questions can I ask Pip? Can I ask Pip 20 questions?
I don't know the answer. You can ask
as many as you want. Oh, fuck sticks. Is it Arturo Gatti? It's not Conor McGregor.
Kept it easy.
Ah! I was gonna say that in about 5 or 10, 15 guesses, I would have said Conor McGregor.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Is that the end?
Yeah.
Shall we wrap things up there? Thank you for returning to the Whiff Inn with us. Anything that you like to say?
Yeah, of course. We can all say that Stu was thinking Conor McGregor, can't we? But really, he really upset everyone's night. And you know what? Your girlfriend was texting me yesterday.
Have a little lay down.
No, I'm sorry, man. I don't mean it.
It should be revealed that Chris is staying here tonight, isn't he?
You can take him over if you want.
No, I'm good.
No. On a promise. On a promise, mate. I'm sorry.
Hardcore Listening is out every Monday on all podcast platforms. Off the Beaten Track is out every Friday. Any day, really. Every other day. The MMA fan podcast is out most days as well.
Once a week.
At least. And this has been the return to the record.
I'm not having sex with anyone tonight.
All right, night.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. That was part four. I really am spoiling you, right? I mean, that might be a weird thing to say after the mess that became at the end with the classic game of 20 questions. I think we did it as 10. I don't even remember. But I hope you enjoyed all of that. I'll be back on Wednesday as usual. These have been bonuses, if you can believe it. So there will be an episode on Wednesday as ever. So until then, stay safe and stay sane. And thank you all for 400 episodes of support. You may not have listened to all of them. You may have dipped in and out, but each and every one of you means the world, man. So sincere thanks. I'll see you on Wednesday. Ta-ta.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.